First, I want to say and wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. It was a beautiful day today. Nice and sunny, blue skies, a little bit of clouds, a little on the cool side, but I like that, so I'll take it. Low humidity, that's for sure. I was able to get out, and of course, I can't really walk the fur kids much, but I did like what I could and then just watched them finish up being walked. But they enjoyed it outside, and it was just nice, and it was just a nice low-key St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone, and for anyone who has the Irish lucky blood in your family. I have it my grandmother's side. I have a little bit of Irish in me, a little bit of Irish, just a touch, but it was a good day today, and everything is like starting to bloom now. It's getting icy green, just in time for the cicadas. Yeah, so they have lots of blooms and things to hold on to. Not looking forward to it. But I'm getting this part. I'm in this part of therapy. Like I said, it was like in three, really, if you think about it, as she said, it's like three different parts of therapy. I had the first is like just talking things out and explaining things going on and going through like the emotional side of everything. And then you get like into the middle part of therapy where you start looking at where things have come from, how things happened, you know, whether it's, you know, how it happened, whether it's due to relationship, whether it's a family thing, where it's something hereditary, just getting everything out there to understand, you know. And then this part that I'm in now, it's all logical thinking. It doesn't matter. It's not about what happened or what transpired, but just making logical sense, you know, by a trauma therapist, and they explain everything. And really, as she said, you know, I'm not involved. You know, I'm a third party outside looking in. So her perception of what really happened and what and why is spot on compared to someone like myself who's been in it or someone connected that was connected with it. It doesn't matter what transpired, what happened. It's just really just looking at the whole thing and taking each situation and really looking at it on the where, when, how, what, and also the explaining of what makes someone do the things they do, the thoughts, the actions, the behavior, you know, and then following through with things. She says something this last session last week, and it really stuck with me, and I really thought about it the rest of the week and this weekend. Is it true what she said? And then I never had anybody say it the way she did. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is true. It's like she said, you know, it's like somebody handing you a piece of paper, Kim, and writing down every time something happened, a behavior of someone doing something that was really outrageous, really not normal, very calculated. Calculated meaning as a group, they thought about what they were doing. They talked about it. You had flying monkeys, as she said, people that are standing around and they know this behavior is happening, that their actions are happening, and they're not doing anything about it. They're allowing it to follow through, which makes them just as part of the problem than the people doing it themselves, you know, following through, we'll just say. But it's almost like she said, it's almost like writing down something like, this is what you went through. Okay, here's a piece of paper. This happened. This is what you went through. Okay, this is what I went through. But it's not the first time I've been told this, but not told in this way to where I understood exactly what she meant, but I really should have got it from the last trauma therapist in our group, is you know what happened to you. And every time it was like one thing after another, after another, after another. But you never fully, and I do not believe at all, that you have really sat back and really understood that this happened to you. And this really happened to you. This isn't just, I'm giving you a piece of paper and this is what happened to you, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm really understanding this really happens to me. And this is really real. And to really look at what happened and understand the depths of things that were really calculated, really outrageous, really cruel, really cold, really crazy as hell. And the people that did it is disturbing. These are not strangers by any means, okay? These are not friends by any means. These are people that did things to me that I was told, that did things to you, that did not care at all of the consequences or ramifications of what they were doing. They were so in tune of controlling you to the dangerous part, I mean, a really dangerous part of control, that is really dangerous. It could be really deadly. And it's very, very, it's a scary situation to be in when people are so fixed on controlling someone. Narcissism, yes, but we're talking about way past that. Or really, 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 really scary-ass things. I thought about this weekend. I said, yeah, it is true. She's right. You know? When people don't really embrace what happened to them, when it's something really traumatic, and they're just like, okay, this happened. But they're not really looking at what really happened and really accepting what happened and really dissecting it and really like drinking a glass of water. I mean, just don't look at the water. You're going to drink it. You know, that it's like, I really didn't take it how serious the things that they did to me, how serious it was, and the consequences or ramifications until third-party professionals like therapists, like judges, like chief of police, like other people involved, walk-in, you know, or stand-in judges that are attorneys. Until people started, you know, sitting back or calling or emailing or sending letters and explaining, listen, you know, without saying everything, I want you to understand and see how serious this is, this behavior that has escalated, because it did, it escalated until it stopped. It stopped because professionals got involved and they protected me without me realizing how much they truly, per trauma therapist, protected you. Because these people would have fulfilled what they were intending to do, which is any way, shape, or form to silence you, to lock you up, no matter how fraudulent it was, and continue doing it any way they can. They affected your health. They affected your right to care. They got involved with where you lived. They got involved with friends. They got involved your right as a step parent. They destroyed everything they possibly could. They never wanted to see you happy. They'd made sure you weren't happy. They made sure to sabotage anything they could. And this is from somebody who is not involved, but looking at not what the action is or who did it, but the whole thing itself. And I realize I've not accepted fully. I know what happened to me, but I never really fully embraced what happened to me. And that's where we're at now, this last part of therapy. And it's not emotional. I don't feel emotional about it, because that's not what it's about. We went through that part of emotional. It's really looking at and really accepting what happened to me, which I never truly accepted it. When somebody's brainwashed, and we're talking about serious brainwash, I mean, people manipulating you by making you feel and think a certain way, or using, like I was always told by you, you would sit there and say, the podcast is ruining your life. This is ruining your life. This is, it's always something ruining my life. It's a form of serious narcissism control, trying to control you and feeling like they're entitled, that they own you. Like you're an object and they control you. And then getting other people in the circle involved, and then people that should not be involved, which are flying monkeys, that the flying monkeys don't understand narcissism because they're sitting around it. They're standing around it. They're listening around it. But they have the duty and moral duty to know that it is wrong. And they know, they knew damn well what was wrong and right. But you still sat around and you still stood around and you allowed the same people to control you. They controlled you from being around me. And we all know, and you know, there is nothing that should have ever, whatever, and even kids, okay? Unless you did things to me that I don't know about, which I do have one set of papers I knew about, which was false. You know, it was false documents. It was falsified, okay? It's the truth. You know it, okay? That's one thing, all right? But being around things that you know is not morally right, that could really hurt people, it could kill somebody, and you're standing around and you allow it and you didn't speak up. See, that's the big problem with the therapist, is these people didn't speak up. But they're old enough to know to speak up, but they didn't do it. Because there must be something, as you said, some kind of gain that they're getting behind the scenes. Whether bills paid for, gifts, some high-ticketed items, something that they're getting to where they don't want to rock the boat because they're getting rewarded for not saying anything. But you're getting rewarded for not sticking up to stop this stuff happening to me. You got rewarded for you not speaking up and stopping what happened to me. I'm going to say it again. You got rewarded, not just one person, because y'all know who you are, got rewarded for not sticking up and speaking up and stopping the behavior, because you had a right to do it. And you could have done it. And you could have done tough love. You could have did it. You could have did it. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be around you. My kids aren't going to be around you, blah, 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 until you guys stop this stuff, because this is really like not okay. You know, you guys are ganging up. And that's not okay. But you didn't. You took part of it. One of you took part of it. You stepped into a situation and took part of it. And you went that extra step. You literally have become a narcissist. And that is her exact point of view. And her opinion, strong opinion, is you are a narcissist. You were a flying monkey at first, and now you're a narc. Be proud of yourself. You went up a level. Are you what are you being rewarded for? What are you given? You know? Because there's no way, as she said, that these people are just going to do things and not speak up, whatever. Unless they're being rewarded. Monetary items, gifts, something. There's something. She doesn't know.
I don't know.
I'm not around any of these people. I have no idea. You know, and time doesn't heal all wounds. You become strangers. So y'all strangers, because I don't know. You know, but really accepting what happened to me, and that's where I'm at right now. And taking what I've learned and stuff, because I would not want anybody to have to go through the pure living hell that I went through. Okay. And then knowing when people do things, and then I would confront them and they would gaslight me and they would flip the script, gaslighting meaning, you know, you did this stuff. And I found out, hey, how's the weather going? Hey, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I heard there's a blah, 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 a hotel or something built or whatever. Gaslighting is evaded avoiding when they're caught and had. Narcissistic people do it all the time. They'll gaslight your ass. They'll make you feel crazy. They'll flip the script. Oh, you always bring up stuff from the past, whatever. And they know damn well what they did. And they know what they did. They got caught. In the worst way possible. But they're still going to evade, avoid, and not admit to what they've done. That's happened every single time. You know? Or they'll start an argument. They'll create a very hostile argument. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's email, it doesn't matter. Because narcissists do this. To where then you retract back from what they've done to you. Or what they did to you. And you just stop the whole conversation in general. See, I really didn't see the whole picture because I was in the picture. Until you get trauma therapists involved that aren't in the picture, and they're going by documents, they're going by proof, they're going by fact, okay? And they're not getting emotions involved, and they don't care who you are, okay? But you're on a totem pole, and you're doing this stuff, they're going to care who you are. Trust me, they're going to care. And they're going to make sure to arm me with education and make me understand and embrace what I went through. Because as they said, you're not taking this serious, because I don't think you've accepted what happened to you. She's right. This weekend, I realized how right she is. She's right. What do you do with this? I'm still in this process with therapy, mental health therapy, with trauma therapy. What do you do with this? Well, this brings me closure. This gives me knowledge and understanding because she's explaining why people did the things they did, consciously doing it, their behavior why. There's a lot of spite. There's a lot of resentment towards me. There's a lot of spite towards me. You have one individual, she believes that your illness was always part of life, that they felt left out. They felt like the lesser of. So there's a spite and a resentment that's been there forever, that once they got a green light in a way to take that back out on you, even though it's not your fault with your health, but they still felt like you took front and center. Now they want all the attention. They want all the front and center. That makes them golden. Okay. So they got a little bit of inkling of how to get back at you while you were sick, while you weren't paying attention and doing it for years. Because she strongly feels that this person has such spite and resentment. But most importantly, she said, the worst part is she has a lot, is this person has a hell of a lot of hatred towards me. Because there's no way in hell, she said, they would have done the things that they have done. And then literally laugh about it and admit it to you as if it was no big deal. There's some mental things in somebody's head when they do things like that. It's like, you know, playing a villain in a movie, the Joker. You know, the Joker doesn't care what they do. They laugh about it. Okay. In her mind, in her opinion, it's exactly what that person did. And you're a stalker on this podcast. It's exactly what you did. You literally admitted to me what you did to me. And you had no remorse, no apology, no nothing, which makes you the most dangerous narcissistic person to ever live. Fact. Scary as hell. Fact. Trauma therapist making sure I understand just how scary you are. Fact. Because you did things that could have killed me. You don't want me to, you literally admitted, well, the reason I tried to lock you up in jail, this is the truth, folks, truth, so help me God, my last dying breath, the truth. The reason I tried to lock you up in jail, because you were talking about your life. I was using words, not people's names, words, pronouns, words. If somebody, as she said, wasn't involved in what happened to you, it wouldn't bother them so bad as to silence you and shut you up from telling the world the truth, because they're too busy behind the back, your back, making sure that they take anything that anything happened and making it so elaborate and changing and flipping the script and lying on top of it to make sure that nobody had anything to do with you. Nobody contacted you. Nobody sent you Christmas cards to people that didn't, that you weren't invited to things, that you didn't know about things. They hid things that should have never been hidden. And then going to a court system and trying to lock you up in jail. And a judge intervened twice. Yeah. And stand-in attorneys are stand-in judges also that knew the judge got wind. And I got letters. I got phone calls. And I was told, be careful. This is the truth, folks. People needed to see what happened. You all needed to see. Everybody needed to see what happened. Before I die, I'm making sure everybody understood my side, which is the fact of what happened. I'm too busy dealing with my health. But I'll be honest, I was so damn in a fog and so goddamn freaking, excuse my French, but this is the truth. I was so confused. Like, why are these people doing this? Of all people, you all are doing this to me? You don't need to use your names. Because you know exactly what the hell and who you are and what you did. And then you have flying monkeys who sat there around and you didn't do anything about it. You had the power of her trauma therapist to stop it. Would you have done it to your own kids? Would you allow things to happen to your own kids? Would you have stood around and let things happen to your kids? Or would you have stopped it? Her strong opinion, you would have stopped it before it got out of control. But you, in her opinion, strong opinion, and the other trauma therapists are being rewarded for contributing to behavior that is downright dangerous and could have killed me. You're trying to stick somebody in jail. And do you know what jail is? Have you ever been in a cell? Do you know how nasty and filthy and germ infested it is? Okay. I don't have no damn criminal records. I don't have no nothing. Okay. I'm blogging my journey, my life. I'm podcasting my life. I'm talking about my life. Just like you, as she said, talk about your life on social media. Okay? But you were using names out in groups of people. You were using names. Me. I wasn't using names. You didn't like the fact that I was talking about my story because you like to control me and you don't want me to have any words. You don't want me to have any feelings. You don't want me to express myself. You want me to be just an introvert stuck in a box, not think, not speak, and have no nada. You want me as miserable and unhappy as possible. That was always your goal. In life, I believe, my opinion. I don't know how else to see it. Because you sure the hell weren't rolling up your sleeves making sure I was happy. You know, normal people who you are in the totem pole would have made sure, like, you know what? When somebody's falling down is we go together and we lift them up. You never did. You pushed me down as far as you could and made sure everybody else pushed me down on top of you. Which makes it the most calculated, cold, damning thing that any trauma therapist has ever seen. And it's two of them to where it's so crazy and bizarre, folks, that I didn't know how to feel because I truly realized I didn't accept it. And nothing is the past. If you haven't accepted, embrace it and understand exactly what you went through by the people who did it. It becomes the present until it's resolved, until it's spoken about, until I'm allowed to finally have my word, which this is my time now, my truth. Y'all had your truth, no matter how twisted it was, because it wasn't true. Now, this is my time to have my truth. You're not liking it, are you? You're hating it, aren't you? You wish you could lock me up again, huh? You tried twice. Fact. I'm not saying all at the same time. Twice. Per trauma therapist. Twice. Per attorney. Twice. Didn't work. You know? You still want to hope. You probably, I mean, in my opinion, I don't know how to see it. You probably wait and just hope to God that the last shoe drops and I croak. That's my opinion, because, I mean, there is no love. There's hate. Because the things you've done is not made of love. It's made of hate. It's made of spite. It's made of resentment. You know, it's ridiculous. But you had people, as she said, who'd done things that would qualify them to be in jail, and you allowed them to slip out of jail. Oh, I feel sorry because of this, 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 this. And then you'd always blame me. But what they decided to do, which was illegal as hell and criminal, is their decisions, their actions, their behavior. It had nothing to do with me because I didn't know what the hell was going on. Which was grounds to be locked up, as she said. And you didn't do it. But then you're coming after me, trying to lock my ass up behind my back. For what? Because you didn't like me talking about my life and my journey? There's people who are writing their novels, their books right now, their autobiography, as she said. Many, many millions of people are writing their autobiography, their biography, their life story. They're making a film about it. There is nobody turning around while they're doing it and talking about their life. And who you are as a totem pole is sit there and try to lock them up in jail, putting them in a place to scare, as she said. They did this to scare you, to silence you. Back to the beginning. Where is this all coming to? Is a form of dangerous control. It's a dangerous game of control. That's why, Kim, people told you, you better stay away because it's dangerous. You don't want to be around these people. You're nothing like, you're not like what we're seeing that's transpired, that's taken place. But no, you're not. But you also didn't know this was all going on, which I did not. But I did not accept, is what I'm getting to on this podcast right now. I did not accept what happened to me. It's a piece of paper wrote down, this happened to you. But I never truly accepted it. Because being brainwashed to every time I bring up something or doing what adults should is confront the situation and bring it up. Hey, listen, you did this. This is very hurtful. And this is very blah, blah, blah. And instead of normal adults communicating, saying, you know what? You're right. I did this, this, this. Instead, you were presented with, you know what? It's all your fault. You're this, you're this. Nobody likes you. You've got a mental health problem, blah, blah, blah. And then you constantly, which would never set well with any therapist or attorney or judge, is you sit there and you come after me and you say, oh, everybody knows your mental health problem. Oh, everybody knows you're crazy. Everybody. Honey, I've been in, out of all of you, I'm the only one who's been consistent on therapy. Hey, do you ever think about that? Did you all think about that? I'm the only one out of all of you who has been consistent with therapy. Folks, before you judged me because you didn't hear my side and you thought it was true because I didn't stick up for myself, well, there was valid reasons called going through treatment and dealing with other things in life, but I'm dealing with their triggered behavior. Yeah. You didn't see. You didn't know. Okay. I'm the only one who's been consistent with therapy and took it seriously. And I have done tremendous leaps and bounds of change. Sometimes I've resorted back and fall off the bandwagon, but no, majority rule is 99.9%. And no, I went the right way. I went to the right way of light and away from the wrong. I got out of the darkness and I woke up and saw the light, you know, but you all didn't. You know? Because if you went to therapy, you'd have to admit what you did to me and you don't want to admit to you what you did with me. So you take up hobbies and you do things to, as a therapist said, train your brain to shut off the guilt. So you don't feel, and you can pretend like it didn't happen, but it did. And you have a subconscious and a guilt part of your body, as you said, in your brain, that can eat people alive. You know? But narcissistic people will never admit what they've done. They'll evade, avoid, they'll flip it, they'll make you seem crazy. You said so many things about me that were so malicious, so nasty, so not true, that it literally, when I've said before that I feel like the old me died, going through pictures and photo albums or just tidying things up in totes and donating things, and I've done this twice a year. I mean, for many, many years, just cleaning things up and seeing the person with the smile and the person that liked to laugh and I like to joke around and cut up. And I had a great sense of humor. And sorry, neighbors, I've always liked to dance. I got a freaking security camera. If I can sing or order McDonald's fries on it and, you know, create just something funny to make people smile, now I'm going to do it because I think you can admit there's not enough laughter and smile in the world. And where I live, it's so damn serious that there's not enough laughter. We need a comedy club or something. It's so damn serious, you know? And then for someone to sit there, you know, and take it, oh, she's crazy, whatever, you're going to be fucking stupid. That's stupid. I'm so glad that I can do skits now. And now I'm, my category is in person, in, oh God, not improv. Impersonation. You know, big company is going to category me as impersonator. Okay, that's great. I'll take it. But see, that's why I did things. I created a lot of laughter and did a lot of skits in that because I had to do something that was healthy from all the stuff I was dealing with by these same people. It didn't stop. I ended up with severe anxiety from it. I was never diagnosed, since 10 years ago this all started. I never had severe anxiety. I was never diagnosed with it. See, I inherited that through all the stuff I went through. That's the truth. And I have a lot of triggers from all of it. That's the truth. But I have been religious with my therapy on a Sunday. It's the truth. You know, I'm going to do what I can do to laugh and have humor. And I've been able to now do it again. You know, I'm actually be able to go in by myself and create skits and create characters and have some humor. you know? Impersonator. Okay, that's fine. I do impersonations. I don't care what it is. It's for me. It's a healthy escape from really outrageous, disturbing things that have happened to me. That's the truth, you know? I'm not an alcoholic. I could choose the bottle. I could choose smoking things, crack whatever the hell, become a serious drug addict. I could choose being a robber or something. I could choose, like, sexual stuff, whatever. I mean, what the hell? I choose healthy. That doesn't make me crazy. What's crazy is the people who did things to me that have had so much hatred, so much spite, so much resentment towards me, that the unhealthy was the behavior that you did towards me. I became your number one bullseye and target. And you did it in a group cult-like setting. Cult came from therapists, okay? It was like a community, a village, whatever. No. It was not a group, as they said. This is a cult because cults behave this way. But so do people narcissistic. They hang around narcissistic people, and then they train people that don't know what narcissism is, as they're flying monkeys, and to become narcissists, okay? If using laughter and creating laughter makes me crazy, then I'm the most goddamn craziest woman in the world. And I will own that title. And please give me an Emmy or Oscar for it. Come on now. You know? You know, neighbors didn't understand the full picture of what was going on. You know? If I'm going to order burger and fries from my security camera hanging on a tree or up in freaking, I don't know, up in the clouds, you know? You really didn't understand what was going on. But you were being manipulated too. And you knew that people were telling you to do things to me, but you don't even know who I am. That's not okay. That's not right. And then I have a court system, somebody in the court system within the county who slipped, and they didn't slip as they said. I think you needed to know. You know, that's not okay, ma'am. You know, that got turned down. You know, that's not, you know, somebody doesn't know who you are. They're doing things because people are saying things. You know, it's just, it's the whole thing that happened to me over the years. It's really more that I think about it and put myself outside my shoes, because I really need to understand. Brainwashing is constantly going to the people that have done things and being projected on and gaslit, meaning they evade, avoid, and flip the script, make me seem like a crazy for the crazy stuff they did. Was why many times I just shut it down, and I never got finished, and I never could finish, and I never could talk, and I never could speak up. No matter if I had a blog, if I wrote, if I was writing a book right now, if I was making a film, it didn't matter. You know, I'm at the part of my life with my journey, and it's time. Not when I'm dead and gone. There ain't no letters. You know, I decided I was going to each individual. I had letters. I really did, typed out. And I started the process 2 years ago because the prior trauma therapist said it was really what you need to do is you need to leave these letters for these people. That's it. You know, but why leave letters? You know, while I'm dead and gone, well, that's stupid. You know, I need to do it while I'm alive, because it's far more beneficial for people who do things like this to really get to hear what you've done, to understand what you've done, because you don't understand, because you're too much resentment, spite, and hatred towards me that you think what you've done still to this day was okay. You know? Do you still continue doing things behind my back? Oh, I sure you do. Oh, hell yeah, you do. You know, I had a grant as a first-time home buyer, going in by myself. You know, next to Ken, people needed to sign things, could have signed. It was just a piece of paper. And you, of all people, you know how grants work. Don't play stupid. For a therapist, they play stupid. Okay? Ask me how much I make and blah, 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 blah. It's none of your business. I don't ask you questions like that, so why are you asking me? You know, there was a hidden agenda behind it. Then this IRS stuff popped up. So are they still doing this stuff to this day? Well, the last time that I know they've done things would have to be the IRS. Are they doing anything else? I don't know. Per trauma therapist? Yes. It'll never stop. Until people start passing away. Then it stops. And everyone has said that I've ever seen. You know, whether it was a psychologist, trauma therapist, it didn't matter. Everybody said the same thing. Until people die is when you will realize peace, Kim, or it's myself. And things finally get to me, and I end up with a complication, I'm gone. You know, but, you know, this is not a situation where leaving letters is going to serve anything. You know, the closure needs to happen, and it's where this selfish part needs to happen, because the closure needs to happen for me. This is my peace. This is my closure. And this is where I end chapters and I end things that have happened, because I never really embraced, you know, what happened to me. It's the truth. I have used comedy for people who are coming off of the platforms. You may have found me. You realize this is just completely night and day of doing impersonations? Well, damn straight it is. This is my outlet, is comedy. That was my outlet, and it is my outlet still. I reached back into that side of me, which is the love of laughter and making other people laugh makes me happy. That's part of being an empath. But I love comedy. You know, I've always been that person. It's always been my personality because that's part of me. But sadly, when you're constantly being ice picked, and I mean, it's like a bad, you know, horror movie, because really it is, you lose everything about you and you lose the good parts, like good sense of humor. But I've been able to reach back in, dig into that side of me, and I've been able to bring it back to life, and it's happened. And it feels great. It feels liberating. You know, like I said, I could have chose other bad, you know, non-healthy outlets. So if being humorous and like to laugh makes me crazy, then call me the craziest person in the world. I don't care. Now, at this point, that point, you can, you listening stalker, you can call me crazy all day long. I don't care. But you're calling me crazy. And you, I mean, what therapist's office have you sat in regarding what you've done to me? I guarantee you not one damn one, because you don't ever admit what's going on, you know? I mean, you brought in cousins? I mean, come on now. I don't get into my cousins' businesses. I don't care what side it is. I never got into their business or their life or anything. But you just brought my life out in the open to make light of, to make me appear crazy and do things like this. I mean, that's not okay either. And what happened, you know what happened? For your action, your behavior, what happened is I stopped getting Christmas cards from the people that I saw every year because of you. Because when I saw them where I resided, a casino, and they literally slipped. I don't think they slipped for therapists. They wanted to let you know. I've already heard everything about you. But I don't know what you're talking about, because I didn't. You know? Getting involved in my right to be a step-parent, a parental role model. I don't even like the word step-parent. I had a right to be part of a child's life. You know, when I said I get married this last time, that's it. But when I get married, I'm going to gift myself. You know, I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody who has kids. I really always thought it would be multiple kids because, you know, when you're older and you get married, remarried, I thought it would be multiple kids. You know, I met someone and I got involved and, I, you know, they had one kid. Well, that's fine. You know, I was a damn good parental role model. And that boy, who's now a young man, could never say otherwise. Just a couple years ago, went to have ice cream with me. You know? Because somebody feels a certain way about me. Well, you're not having ice cream with her. He can have ice cream for a therapist if he wants to, from someone who's a good influence. Just because you feel a certain way about me, don't get kids involved. But you doing that doesn't make you good at who you are as a title. That's for sure. That's not okay. Talking poorly about somebody's father around other individuals on a totem pole is not being any kind of role model at all. I'm not talking about me doing it, but you were doing it. You both are doing it. That's not okay either. Let's talk about that. That was hurtful. You know, my right and my gift to myself to be able to be some type of parental role model, because I always wanted kids. People, a lot of people don't know. I went through reproductive health and that and surgeries to have kids to fix things. You know, it didn't work. I had a timeline to get pregnant. I was in a marriage that was not healthy. It was completely unhealthy. You know, the person had no business being married. They didn't want to be married, but they got married because everybody else was. That's the truth. And they admitted it to me. No, we could finally say it. Because they were married. But that's why. They didn't want to be married to me. I knew it wasn't going to last. They weren't even around. It disappeared. Like after, I mean, the week or 2 weeks after being married, they never around. Never home. You know, I'm not going to get pregnant with someone that I know is not going to be part of my kid's life, but is not healthy and very toxic. And we're talking about things that were abusive. I'm not going to go there. But I'm not going to have a kid out of that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And the timeline was gone. That's the truth. So you all know when I went through that. And then I now all of a sudden involved with someone and get married. And they have a child. And then you literally contact the family of my stepson. And making light in front of me, and that, you know, she's sick and she lays her down around all the time. And this is, so it's a lot of people way around us. A lot of people, there's people that are handicapped or they're paralyzed and they have kids. And they're never able, they have never been able to walk at all. And they've been in a wheelchair. Would you sat there and condone and condemn them too? Maliciously? Well, they wouldn't make a good parent because they're stuck in a wheelchair their whole life. Well, you did to me. So you would, I mean, per my opinion, you would do the same thing. Well, they wouldn't make good parents either. You're wrong. Because the people who really want to be parents and they really struggle, it's not as easy just to get pregnant, are the ones that make the most damn good parents in this world. And I would have been one of them. And I was. But then you put your input in. Why? What'd you do it for? I wasn't even talking to you. In fact, you were asked multiple times, please butt out right now. By multiple sources, because I'm going through a lot with my health, and I can't handle the stress, and nor should I be in this stress. But instead of saying okay and butt out, you even got more malicious in making sure you butt in. And you did things that were absolutely nuts, now that I think about it, and I'm really embracing what happened. Absolutely out of this world. Nuts. It's nuts. You have taken my right from watching and being part of a kid throughout their school years. Taking them for simple things like ice cream, whatever. Okay, yes. As a stepmother, I had times and I was involved with the things with my tumor and not knowing what was going on and the mystery. At the same time of being married, and this all surfaces, okay, there's many times when I would call, you know, the child's family. Listen, can he stay with you for a while, whatever? It was strategically decided by me and a psychologist in Ohio is, should I have him around while I'm sick or should I not? Do you interfere with the child's right to be a child in sports and school and things? Or do you put this kid in a situation where they're going to watch somebody get really, really sick? They're going to watch somebody go through treatments, be really sick. They're going to watch me now go through treatments. And now I have a very small window of opportunity to live normal before this comes and continues, because it continued growing anyway, the tumor back. And now it's going to be worse because it's worse now than it was before I started treatments. Do you put a kid in that situation if you have grandparents that are overall healthy, that they could be with? Well, sure. You know, it was strategically of what you do. It's the most selfless act you can do is allow the kid to have a normal life. I did. Okay? But when it was time, listen, it's time to be back with your father and time to be back with me as a parental role model. They have a mother. I'm not their mother. Okay? And the mother has just as much right to be part of that child's life. And I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. They do. It doesn't matter who they are. You do. It's your biological son, not mine. Okay? But I respectfully am going to be the best damn parental role model that I can be to him. I never even got the opportunity. Because behind the scenes, once again, per therapist, this is an orchestrated event of all these people now going towards the family side of Eric and now causing all these problems. And it got really twisted and really crazy because as soon as I got the green light, making sure from a child psychologist who's also a psychologist for adults and making sure this is the time now to bring him home. As soon as that happened, was met with a force, a great force of control, period. A child is not your child unless you birth that child or you help create that child. He's not your child. It's the parents of two people that had that kid, not yours. It's not your son, Jared. And I think somebody needs to say it, and they haven't, and I'm saying it right now, whether you listen or not. He's not your son. You have been thanked by me personally for helping in times that I did not feel, and a child psychologist did not feel it was healthy for him to be around me, that you knew it was temporary, and we made it very clear. But you didn't accept that. And you got really maliciously nasty. And you made a mistake. You put in a court document that I would not make a good parent because all I do is lay around. But you know where you heard that from? You. The same group of people. And then one of the same group of people, when I called and how emotionally distraught I was because I read it, because I had an attorney pull all this stuff up in the transcripts. And I paid for the transcripts, by the way. And I have them. And I told you that. You know what your response was? Being on the totem pole was not a normal response for a trauma therapist. Oh, well, they probably didn't think you were going to see it or find out. That's not your response at all. That's not a normal response. Your normal response would have been filing a motion in court and going in there and talking to the judge and being like, you know what? Listen, I was there when she went through all these surgeries and went through trying to have kids. And by them, these two people saying that about her, without really knowing her, it's not okay. She has every right to be a parental role model, stepmother, whatever you want to say. So this is not okay. It's wrong. And you should have went guns a-blazing against those two people, and you didn't. Your excuse was an excuse. Oh, they probably didn't want you to know about it. The same as when you went to all my doctors behind my back. Well, nobody did find out about it. What did you think? You're interfering in the right of physician's care and a patient. It could have got really bad. Really bad. You're fortunate it didn't. But it didn't go right because the doctors that they're able to go through that you orchestrated knew about, that you played innocent, you didn't know, but you were part of the problem. You knew all along. Per therapist, you're part of it. You're part of getting this whole thing together. No matter what it was, every event, you were part of it. You took part of it. The doctor said it feels okay, and they contacted me right away. Another, by phone. The other, I need you to come in for a visit. And it was presented to me. And they armed themselves legally. It's the truth, folks. So you taking part of these two people saying to a juvenile court system out of state, and, I mean, I'm not even there to defend myself. Saying I wouldn't make a good parent because I lay around? Well, sure as hell, then you are discriminating as hell. You're the most discriminative asshole I've ever met in my life. Sorry, you're an asshole. Anybody who said that, you're an asshole. You're an utter asshole, need to be said, okay? Because you're discriminating against any person who's paralyzed, sitting in a wheelchair. Or maybe people can't even get in a wheelchair. Because you're saying they're not a good parent either. I mean, that's not okay. It's not okay. No, sorry, folks. No, it's not okay. I found a pot of gold, and I have for a while, not just on St. Patrick's Day. I found myself again. I found my truth. And I'm setting myself free. Freeing myself. Isn't that my journey?